Hello, and welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency, devoted to promoting musicians and authors worldwide. Call us today at 941-877-1552 to start your free publicity evaluation. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Please welcome the host of Interviewing the Legends, music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Hello once again, everyone. I'm your host, Ray Shasho, and welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends on VBS Radio, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552 or email us at publicityworksagency.com. And remember, we shine only when we make you shine. It's Rolling Stones songs deconstructed, says Bernard Fowler, explaining the title of his new album, Inside Out. I just took these songs and turned them inside out. Bernard Fowler has another gig, too. He's sung and played percussion with the Rolling Stones on stage and in the studio since 1988. At Soundcheck, somewhere along their 215 zip code tour, he started riffing on a Stones song as dramatically delivered spoken word, and the band dug it. Mick said, "Bernard, I've heard Rolling Stones songs done a lot of ways, but never like this," Fowler recalls. I said, "Well, you know what? When the tour is over, I'm going to cut it." And he said, "You should. That's all I had to hear. That was the green light." And that's how it came to be that one of rock's and pop's most sought-after singers doesn't sing a note on his new record. Lots of people have celebrated Keith Richards' iconic riffs, Mick Jagger's trademark howl and stunt, and the Rolling Stones' blazing live show. But there's never been such a thoughtful, soul-bearing, and thoroughly original appreciation of the band's lyrics. In order to do that, Fowler pared away the chord changes and even the melodies and left only the words, then declaimed them like the world's coolest preacher atop slamming grooves powered by a who's who of Cracker Jack players. It's not quite singing, but only a peerless vocalist could pull it off so powerfully. His incantations seething with righteous anger and foreboding and desire. Inside Out demonstrates what cover versions are supposed to be, reinterpretations that are not only a vehicle for personal expression, but also put the material in a new light. People hear their favorite songs all the time, but sometimes they don't really hear them, Fowler says. This is a way to hear them all over again, appreciate them in a whole new way. But the beauty of Inside Out is that it provides an opportunity to appreciate Bernard Fowler in a whole new way, too. Please welcome musician, producer, songwriter, actor, and singer for the Rolling Stones, Bernard Fowler, to Interviewing the Legends. Hello, Bernard.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. Where are you? You're in Toronto today, aren't you?
That's good. Yeah, I'm in Toronto. Hey, man, where did you get that stuff from you,
Ed? That's from your website.
That's pretty damn good.
I know, man. I actually had to shorten it a little bit.
Very cool.
You and me are about a year apart. I'm a year older than you, so we share a lot of the same experiences in music and that kind of thing. And you mentioned to an interviewer about Beatle boots. And, you know, I did the same thing. I was hounding my mom for Beatle boots as well. But then after I wore them for a bunch of times, they were very narrow.
But they were the wrong kind. Mine fit perfect.
Oh, they fit perfect. Huh? You had the zipper on the side and everything?
No zipper.
Oh, no, I had the zipper.
No, these are like classic Chelsea boots. No zipper.
Oh, I got the wrong ones then, huh?
Yeah.
You know, I love your voice. And one thing One thing I really like is I love when you did the standards with Charlie Watts' quintet. You did I've Got a Crush on You. There's so many classic songs I could hear you singing, too, like Nat King Cole and Sinatra and Johnny Mathis. You ever think about doing an album like that?
Yes, I'm thinking about it now. I'm thinking about doing a few albums. I have a few albums to do. I have to, obviously, you know, the Inside Out has been received so well. I have to do a follow-up to Inside Out. And I have to do a follow-up to my last record, The Boor.
Right.
Which was also received really well. So I have to do those. And the third project that I'm working on, I'm between originals and standards, but I'm planning to make a record with an orchestra.
Oh, wonderful. Man, that'll be awesome.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. Now, do you plan on doing any touring, you know, to support your album and maybe after the Stones tour?
Yes, absolutely. As soon as the Stones tour is over, I'll go out and do some Inside Out gigs.
Right.
And at some point, you know, I've already started plans for the next Inside Out record. I've started making some plans. So, you know, I'm going to be flying to Uruguay to record some drummers there, some master drummers there, just to get the next Inside Out started.
Awesome. Well, I'm friends with Billy Cobham. That'd be a nice drummer to... I can see you and Billy Cobham.
Billy's great. He's got a brother that plays the mean trumpet also.
Really? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
How about that? Well, the new album, Inside Out, I love it. I gave it 5 stars, if that's okay with you. I only go up to 5.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
I love the style. You know, it kind of reminds me, you remember the old Beatnik days with the bongos when they used to do the spoken word?
I do.
That, you know, that was before the hippies, of course, but they had the little goatees, yeah. You know, and, you know, I always think of yeah. It kind of reminds me of the beginning of all that. But
yes, that was definitely in mind when I was recording it. You know, I wanted to take it back. You know, back to, you know, kind of the beginning of the whole spoken word thing.
Yeah, I love it, man. My favorite song, of course, is Sister Morphine.
You got good taste. That's one of my favorites. It's incredible piece of music.
It is. Oh man, you guys killed it. The brass set section was incredible. You've got Keon Harold playing trumpet?
That's right. That's Keon.
Keon Harold
is doing all that trumpet work, and Keon Harold did all the trumpet work in the Don Cheadle, Miles Davis movie.
Right.
All the trumpet that wasn't Miles Davis was Keon.
Wow. Because, you know, it does sound like Miles on the record.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does.
I just love it, man. That's definitely, I listen to that over and over again. The song that really stuck in my head over and over again was Tie You Up. I got those lyrics in my head for a long time. I couldn't get it.
Those lyrics are really, really, really strong. It's amazing, you know. It's amazing. I don't think, like I said, people hear it. They've heard the Stones do it.
Right.
But they never really heard what was being said.
Exactly. You know, you
the
can.
The lyrics to Tie You Up are incredible, yeah.
You can do that with so many artists because there are a lot of artists you can't understand, you know?
Yes, that's true, but but when you dig into understand it, you may not want to do it. not all of it is as good as, you know, what Keith and Nick write.
Right, that's true. And of course, Sympathy for the Devil, man, that was like, it was made for the spoken word, I think, you know?
Yeah, well, Sympathy for the Devil, the only reason I did Sympathy for the Devil was because, A, I ran out of money, B, I ran out of time, I had to go on the road and do some gigs, so I had to, you know, I had to put, I had had to get something really quick and said to me for the devil was easy for me to do.
Right.
You know, that's the only song that I did that I kept the chord progression.
It's a great version, man. It's an incredible cover. And Tom Waits, Time Waits for No One's another one. That's another favorite of mine.
Yes, another one with a great rhythm section. Vince Wilburn on drums, Darryl Jones from the Stones on bass.
Yep.
George Evans and the great Ray Parker Jr.
Exactly. Yeah, I love Ray Parker Jr. I go back to the his radio days. You know, great band. Really good band.
Great band. Great player. Ray Parker Jr. is an incredible player.
He is.
Incredible player. I was really lucky to get him.
I was going to mention, I grew up with, rock and roll, of course, but I love soul music and I love R&B. You know, I'm originally from D.C. And I think your next gig with the Stones is at FedEx Field, isn't it?
Yes, we're out of here tomorrow, headed to D.C. for the next Stones.
Yeah, that's my old stomping grounds there, man.
All right.
That's a huge stadium, by the way.
Yes, it is, and they will fill it.
Definitely. You know, you got to give a lot of credit to the Stones for all these years, you know, and still selling out stadiums. Not many bands can still do that, you know?
They're one of a kind, and, you know, they're still playing at such a high level. And I think that's probably the reason why they've gone on so long is because, you know, they can still perform at that level. You know, Mick is still outperforming people a third of age.
How does Mick feel between shows? My dad and my brother both had the same procedure that Mick had. And, you know, today they do wonders. You know, you're in the heart, you know, they go in and out pretty much.
Yeah.
How's he doing?
Yeah. Yeah, he's doing great.
I can't believe the shape he's in, you know? It's incredible.
Yeah.
He really takes care of himself.
Yeah. Incredible. Incredible.
Yeah.
I don't see him slowing down anytime soon.
Well, Bernard, you're in good shape too, man. We're about the same age, and, you know, just wait till your next birthday. It's not going to be easy to hit 60.
Hey, man. The gym works wonders. Gym and good music keeps you young.
Well, that's what kept me alive all these years.
That's what's keeping me alive.
Here's a little story. I interviewed Kenny Aronson, you know, the great bass player. He was with the Stories, and he was with the New York Dolls, and now he's with the Yardbirds. Yeah. Kenny auditioned for the Stones back in 94. And, you know, they played a bunch of songs. He spent the whole day there. And I think it was Keith Richards, you know, they had a refrigerator there, and they asked if he wanted some, I think they had like vodka coolers or something like that. And they wanted him to drink with them, and he turned it down. He says, that's probably why I blew the audition.
Maybe that's what he thinks, but I think Darryl Jones beat him out.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. I like your shirt, by the way. I'm not Darryl Jones shirt.
Yeah, we had to get those. You know, I got those shirts made for me and Darryl because he walks up the street and people call him Bernard, and I walk up the street and people call me Darryl. And, you know, I've only been working with the Stones for 30 years, and people are still making that mistake, you know.
Yeah.
I've been like 30, 31 years. Darryl's there 25 years, I guess. And people still make that mistake. So I thought, you know, just one day I had enough. I said, I got to get this T-shirt made.
That's incredible. That's great. I love it. That should be on the front covers or of one of your albums, I think.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. Putting that, yeah, that'll be the title of my next album.
I like that. One of your influences, I think, is Gil Scott-Heron, right?
Yeah, he is one of the influences, yeah.
Yeah, I was very lucky to see Gil Scott-Heron when he first started out at Lisner Auditorium. And there was maybe, I don't know, 20 people there. You know, they were brand new. But the opening act was my cousin's, was my sister-in-law's cousin's band called Sabata. And I got to hang out with them, and it was when they came out with, you know, what's the word in Johannesburg, you know, that song.
Right.
Yeah, they you know, I never really appreciated them till later in life, and it's amazing, you know, the writing and the thought process behind that band. They were an excellent band.
Gil Scott-Heron was a super talent, way ahead of his time.
Oh, definitely. I can hear a little.
Ahead of the time, and I actually got to work with him.
Oh, you did?
I got to work with him on an album. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame he's not around anymore either, because he, you know, his music influenced so many people.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. But you know, good work lives on forever.
Yes, it does. Yep. I like a lot of his songs. We Almost Lost Detroit, the Angel Dust, you know, which was, you know, something very big in the D.C. area, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. So many great songs.
A lot of great songs.
So how is it working with the Stones?
Where's it with the Stones? I mean, oh, man. It's, you know, the world's greatest rock and roll band. You know, they've been around a long time. They know how to do it. They know how to get you to the gig. They know how to get you from the gig. And, damn, they know how to play. It's an incredible experience. I'm lucky and blessed. And, you know, there's a lot of good singers out there. I've been the lucky one. I was chosen.
Right. Yeah.
You know? And whenever they decide to go on the road, they call me every time. So, you know, working with the Stones is a treat, man. There's nothing else like it.
I think in your case it was fate, because I think one of the first albums that you like, you were turned on by, I think your dad or somebody, was a Stones album. Is that right?
The first album my dad gave me was
right.
Stones album.
Wow,
yeah, that's true.
That's
yeah. It was 12x5 was the album.
Right. I kind of saw some of the ritual that Mick does like before a show, which is pretty cool. Uh-huh. You know how he kind of, you know, concentrates, and you know, I guess he's like the last one to come out. But yeah, they're amazing. I saw the Stones back in 1974. You know,
right.
A long time
right.
ago. Yeah. With Billy Preston. I think they had Billy Preston in the band. And it was the first year that Ron Wood was there, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, the Stones always kept good company. Always.
They used to be known for coming out a little late, but I think they fixed that problem.
Yeah, those were the good old bad days.
I saw in an interview that you, you know, you wait for cues, but you're always watching Mick, I guess, for cues, huh? He's the main man.
Well, I mean, I'm always watching Mick. Always watching Mick. That's my job, to watch Mick.
Right.
You know, it's not a conventional, type of gig, you know. It doesn't always happen the same from night to night. So you need to be paying attention in case it's different from the night before. And the only way that you can do that is to watch.
Right.
So I keep my eye on them.
Man, I admire you guys, not only for your music, but just for the touring. You know, and going from place to place, and the jet lag, and you get tired, and it's not easy. It's not easy at all.
No, it's not easy, and it's not for everybody.
No, not at all.
Not for everybody. I think people think, oh wow, what a great life. Yeah, it is, but it's not for everybody.
Right.
You know? And a lot of people just can't take the pace. They can't take the pace. can't stand being away from home too
long.
You know, and if you're one of those people, the road is not for you.
Exactly. That do you have a family? Do you have kids, grandkids?
Yeah, I do. I have kids.
Do you have grandkids yet?
I have some.
I have some. Yeah, I've got four. do you beat
for you?
Do you beat me or who's ahead there?
No. I keep that stuff to myself.
Oh, okay.
Family is not part of my.
Well, they're fun. All I can say is they're a lot of fun, and I'm so blessed to have four at this time. Yeah, they're wonderful. You were a big basketball player as well, right?
I was in my early days, growing up. For a second, I thought I would do that. I thought I would play ball. I ate, slept, and drank it. Played it 24/7 all the way up until high school, when the coach found out I was singing with the band after practice. He gave me an ultimatum. I was going to quit the band and just play basketball, you know.
Right.
Or he was going to kick me off the team. Huh. And I told him, I gave him the finger, told him F you, and I quit.
Yeah.
Never played again.
Wow. Well, I guess you made the right decision.
Well, you know, I was forced to make that decision, you know. That was not a good teacher, you know, because, you know, it wasn't like I was missing any practices. You know, I played varsity basketball when I entered high school. I've always played with people older than me, and a lot of guys I played with ended up playing, you know, NBA ball.
Right.
And, you know, I could have done both. Who knows? I could have done both. But, you know, he forced that on me, and, you know, and I was blessed to be able to, you know, make it in this business, which is not easy to do.
Yeah, it's extremely hard to do.
It's not easy to do.
What position did you play?
I was a power forward.
Oh, power forward. Wow. So you're pretty tall then, right?
Yeah,
6'3". Oh, 6'3", okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, 6'3", which is, you know, these days is small.
Right.
It's small for somebody, you know, that plays in that position.
Yep.
But, I had a really good vertical leap, and I was pretty quick and, you know, agile for a big person. I'm still pretty agile.
Do you still play? Do you still fool around on the court?
No, I might shoot around. I don't play, man. That's for the young cats, man. my basketball days are over.
Oh, man. I figured you'd be, you know, looking for some schoolyard on tour or something, you know?
No, man. I can't afford to get hurt. I don't want to be limping on stage.
That's true. Yeah, you can't afford to get hurt. I forgot about that.
Uh-uh.
Yeah. Who were some of the guys you admired playing basketball?
You know, Sam Worthing. You know, we're talking a long time ago, you know.
Yeah.
We're talking about Willis Reed, Jason Butcher, Earl the Pearl Monroe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was a hero of mine, you know, Earl the Pearl. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Sam Worthing. As a matter of fact, they used to call me Sam Worthing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. You know, a guy I really admire is Connie Hawkins, because, you know, he started in the schoolyard, and, you know, Dr. J.
I grew up watching him play.
Yeah, he's incredible. He's really
good. I went up, you know, as a kid, they used to go up to the Pro Rucker and watch the guys, you know, Thurman Helicopter, Joe Hammond.
Right.
Yeah, I saw all the old greats.
You grew up in New York?
I grew up in New York City, Queensbridge Project.
Right, right.
Made famous by the rapper Nas.
Oh, wow. Yeah, my family grew up in Bensonhurst.
Mm-hmm.
In that neighborhood.
Oh, right on. So you're from New York also?
Well, all my family is. I'm, you know, I was born in Baltimore, and then we moved down to in the D.C. area.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, but yeah, we used to go to New York all the time, visit family over in Brooklyn. It was an experience. Definitely a different world.
Oh, yeah.
I heard you, did you tour with Steven Seagal?
Say again?
Steven Seagal? I read somewhere that you toured with him.
You're breaking up.
Oh, okay. I heard you toured Steven Seagal.
I'm only messing with you, man. I did some things with you.
What's he like as a performer?
He's not much of a performer. I mean, he plays guitar.
Okay.
He plays guitar. I think all this performing is done in film. He's not such a great stage performer.
Right.
He plays a decent guitar, but you know, I think it's more of a hobby for him.
Yeah, a lot of those guys are doing hobbies now. You know, they think they can. They can also sing and perform and be a rock star besides being an actor.
Hey, man, most actors want to be rock stars.
That's right. Johnny Depp.
There you go.
Yeah, did you meet Johnny Depp? I know he hangs around Keith a lot.
No, Johnny, a long time.
Really? Is he a pretty good... Do you think he's a pretty good guitar player?
Yeah, he's good. He's a decent guitar player.
Yeah? Well, then we got to give him credit, I guess.
No. I give anybody credit, you know, with balls enough to strap it on and go for it.
Yep, I agree. And you played, you played with Lemmy, right? That was the Orgasmatron album?
I never played with Lemmy. I recorded, I doubled all of Lemmy's vocals for Orgasmatron album.
Right. And let's see, some of the other guys, Duran, I think you're on that album, and Ozzy.
Yeah, Duran. I doubled Ozzy's voice for the Beavis and Butthead soundtrack.
Oh, wow.
And I did a record with Alice Cooper called The Long Tail Spider.
Huh.
And there's a song on there that, for some reason, people think is a duet with Ozzy Osbourne and Alice Cooper.
Right.
And I want you and the listeners to know that that is a lie.
Okay.
It's not Alice Cooper and Ozzy Osbourne. But that is Alice Cooper and Bernard Fowler.
All right.
Doing Ozzy Osbourne.
You heard it here. Well,
yeah. See, I mean, I've done that for, you know, I've done a lot of stuff for a lot of really great artists. You know, I worked with John Lydon on the Till album.
Right.
Public Image Limited. I worked with John on the album called Album. I was his vocal coach for that album, and I did all the choral arrangements. I did all them, and I didn't just arrange them, I sang them all.
Right. Now you're an incredible artist, man. You've been there, you've done it all, just about. You know.
You know, I've been given a gift, and you know, it's a blessing. It's a blessing for sure. And you know, when you have a gift, you know, as such, you're supposed to share it.
That's right. I agree with you.
I do. I try to share it as much as I can.
You know, I'd also love to see you do an R&B album, you know? Because I know you would nail it.
One day, baby.
I've had, recently on my show, I had Mitch Ryder this week, Jeff Skunk Baxter, William King from the Commodores, which he's such a great guy, man. He misses his buddy, Lionel. Do you know...
Yeah, of course.
Do you know Russell Bizett? He's a jazz drummer.
No, I don't.
He played with Jose Feliciano. He's a studio guy. I had Dennis Coffey on the show from the Funk Brothers.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
Funkio.
Yeah, that's right.
Very cool.
Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr. I love them.
Uh-huh.
And here's a guy that I'm trying to help out. I don't know why he's not bigger than he isn't. It's Binky Womack. He's a nephew of Bobby Womack, and he is awesome. You know, he's kind of a rock and soul type guitar player, He loves rock and roll. He reminds me of you a little bit, you know, his taste of music and everything. Because, you know, Bobby Womack was such a great artist.
Yeah, I knew his uncle. I used his uncle on the last Ronnie Wood record that I produced.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. Here's a question I'm going to ask you that I get some interesting answers, and it's going to be hard for you to answer because you've been around and you know so many artists. If you had a Field of Dreams wish, like the movie, to perform or collaborate with anyone from the past or present, who would that be?
Wow. That's a hard question.
Yeah, you've been with everybody, so it's going to be tough. You can go back, you know, back to Jimi Hendrix or even... You know, the blues days or whatever.
That's a hard question. Wow. Who would I collaborate? I don't know. I don't know if I could just name one. It would probably be a few.
All right, you can name a few. Name a whole band if you want.
It would probably be a few. You know, the Stones would probably be one of them. You know, since I spent so much time listening to them, maybe Joni Mitchell. Maybe Neil Young.
Yep.
Sly Stone.
Oh, I love Sly, man.
Yeah, it's just so many of them. So many of them, you know. You know, the Temptations even.
Yep.
It's so many. That's a really hard question.
How about Hendrix?
Yeah, him too. I think, he could have used me on vocals, I think.
I think so.
I think so.
Yeah. I asked Robin Trower the same question. He came up with James Brown, believe it or not. And then I told him, well, what about Hendrix? He said, nah, I'd be ashamed to play with Hendrix.
Well, I wouldn't be trying to play with Hendrix. I'd be trying to sing for him.
That's right. You'd be perfect with Hendrix. So, what do you do in your spare time, if you have any spare time?
Fish.
Oh, you fish, huh?
Fish, you know, the occasional hunting trip.
Right.
You know, I don't fish or hunt for trophies. If I fish, I'm eating it.
Right. You don't throw them back.
If I'm hunting, I'm eating it.
Right.
I don't do trophies.
Where do you hunt that?
Austria. It was probably the last couple times I went hunting was in Austria.
Right. What are you shooting? What kind of animal?
Wild boar.
Oh, wild boar! Really?
Yeah.
We got a lot of those down here.
Yeah, so I heard.
Yeah. And the fishing's pretty good down here in Florida.
Oh man, the fishing's excellent. I think the tour finishes there, and I'm planning to make a fishing trip while we're there.
That's right, Miami, at the Hard Rock Stadium. Yep.
That's it.
Yeah, man, I'm in the Sarasota area, just south of Tampa.
And uh-huh.
So I'm on the Gulf Coast.
Nice.
Well, Bernard, you got anything else you want to add? I mean, I'm going to promote the hell out of your album.
Man, I appreciate it. I think we covered pretty much everything, but man, thank you for the love, man, and thank you. I'm glad you like the record.
The record's
really
great.
Happy you like the record.
It's very, very different. It reminds me a lot of the, you know, like I said, a lot of the old days.
Yeah.
I look forward to a lot more music from you. I know we love the Stones, but we want to hear a lot more of Bernard Fowler, you know?
Well, it's coming. I just need a little time to get it together, but it's definitely coming.
Good, man. Thank you so much, Bernard. And come to Florida, you know, on your own. You know, not with the Stones, but come to Florida with, you know, as a solo artist.
Yes. That's the plan also.
Awesome.
That's part of the plan. Thank you again for the interview. I really appreciate you.
Anytime, Bernard. Keep in touch and have fun on the tour.
I will do. Take care.
All right, man. You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Purchase the latest album from Bernard Fowler entitled Inside Out at Amazon.com. Give it 5 stars. It is a really, really good album. For more information about Bernard Fowler, visit www.bernardfowler.com. That's his official site. Bernard's also on Facebook. Look him up on Facebook. And also, how about the Rolling Stones official website, www.rollingstones.com. Very special thanks to Jill Richmond of Rhyme and Reason Records for arranging this interview with Bernard Fowler, and of course, the dynamic duo of Doug and Don Newsome of BBS Radio for making the magic happen for each and every broadcast of Interviewing the Legends. If you have comments or suggestions for the show, contact me at interviewingthelegends@gmail.com. And please subscribe to my YouTube channel, Interviewing the Legends with Ray Shasho, for the very latest interviews. It's real news. And don't forget to purchase a copy of my book entitled Check the G's, The True Story of an Eclectic American Family and Their Wacky Family Business, available now at Amazon.com. And I promise you will live it. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com. Specializing in author and music artist publicity plans, we shine when we make you shine. Tune in to Interviewing the Legends every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time on BBS Radio, Station 1.